This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, talking about religious violence. Someone on Moscow's listserv, Vision 2020, had this to say about relative violence in Christianity and Islam. Up to the 11th century, Islam had a sizable lead. From 1095 to 1291, the church picked up the pace and nosed ahead. It was neck and neck until 1834 and the end of the Spanish Inquisition. After that, Allah's chosen made it no contest. Islam could not possibly have had any lead before the 11th century because Christianity had a very good start. Under Theodosius I, being a pagan was a capital crime, and even Christian converts were arrested if they practiced even the most minor pagan practice. On December 25th, 390, Theodosius ordered the slaughter of 7,000 pagans in Thessalonica. The British historian Hugh Trevor Roper called Theodosius the first Spanish inquisitor and the Christian monarch who introduced the world to religious totalitarianism. Theodosius was egged on by Bishop Ambrose, who proclaimed that Christ was now at the head of the Roman legions. This reminds me of the sign, "Christ is our commander-in-chief," outside a fundamentalist church in Los Angeles right after the invasion of Iraq. I'm assuming that our born-again president would have to agree with this demotion. Under Muslim rule, Jews and Christians were generally asked to offer a special tax, not their heads. The slaughter of 4,000 Jews in Muslim Granada in 1066 was the exception rather than the rule, and Jews generally had much better lives in Muslim Spain than anywhere else in Christian Europe. In 1099, men, women, and children were slaughtered indiscriminately when Christian forces captured Jerusalem. An eyewitness report said that crusaders rode in blood up to their knees and bridle reins. Indeed, it was a just and splendid judgment of God that this place should be filled with the blood of unbelievers, since it had suffered so long from their blasphemies. When Saladin retook the city in 1187, Christians were only required to pay a ransom and then free to return home. Some of Saladin's officers paid for those who could not afford it, and about 7,000 others were sold into slavery. In Muslim India, Buddhists and Hindus were, incredibly enough, declared people of the book, and the tax on non-Muslims was only sporadically enforced and even more infrequently collected. Most of the ancestors of Muslims in Pakistan, Bangladesh, especially here, India, Indonesia, and Malaysia freely converted to Islam. Some Mughal emperors ordered the destruction of Hindu and Buddhist temples, but local resistance and intimidated Mughal functionaries meant that relatively few temples were liquidated. Early Christian emperors were much more successful in destroying pagan temples, including the one in Alexandria that housed the finest library in the ancient world. Curiously, the Vision 2020 post above ended Christian atrocities in 1834, but during the Taiping Rebellion, Christian armies were responsible for killing 10 to 20 million Chinese between 1852 and 1864. I would hazard a guess that more Taoist and Confucian temples were destroyed by the Taipings in 12 years than 600 years of Muslim rule in India. Some have claimed that the Taipings were not really Christians, but that's simply not the case. They took great pains to eliminate Confucian and Taoist influences, they enforced the Ten Commandments at the point of a sword, and they followed the Bible very carefully, including the prophecies in the Book of Revelation. Short of Osama bin Laden getting several nukes and using them, militant Muslims have a long way to go to match the historical Christian kill rate. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check out my website at www.nickgeyer.com.